This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Shanning and Noel. Now, we've been running a poll on the BFM Twitter account this morning, asking you, are you satisfied with the upkeep of our Malaysian airports? We've had just shy of 100 votes so far, and 63% have said no, they're not satisfied. 30% say somewhat. Only 5% say yes. Let us know what you think. We'll be taking a look at this throughout the rest of the morning. But in the meantime, we are taking a look at the Kimanis by-elections, because this is the first by-election of 2020, scheduled to kick off in 2 weeks on January 18th in Kimanis, Sabah. And it's going to be a one-on-one straight fight between Parti Warisan Sabah's Karim Bujang, who's 67, and Barisan National candidate Dato' Mohamad Alamin, aged 48.
So every time there's a by-election in a relatively obscure place in Malaysia, my knowledge of geography really improves. So Kimanis is on the west coast of Sabah. Under Barisan National, Anifa Aman had held the seat since 2004 until the last general elections when there's this dispute. Based on this voting trend, regardless whether Pakatan Harapan's efforts or Shafi Abdal's sterling leadership, the UMNO candidate might still win this seat this time round. The question, I think, will be the difference in votes.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting election. I mean, is it going to be the kind of a litmus test in terms of how Warisan is doing in Sabah? And also, it's a litmus test of Shafi Adal's leadership, right? Because Sabah politics is its own different game compared to peninsular politics.
Yeah, but I think as Noel pointed out, the real question here, or the real thing that people will be looking at, is that difference in votes. Because if we remember, the reason why we are having this by-election is because the result of the GE14 vote was voided because of irregularities in the election, in the voting process. And even then, that voter majority by which Datuk Sri Anifa Aman won, it was something like 200 votes.
It was very slim, but 150 votes, which, if you exclude that discrepancy.
Yeah, so which was surprising considering that this is considered to be an UMNO stronghold because Anifa had held it for
2004.
Ten years by that point.
Yes, yeah. And prior to that, he actually takes the seat very very comfortably, you know, with a comfortable majority.
Yeah, so this is going to be very interesting to watch. And for some analysis, we have on the line with us Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute. Thank you for joining us, Bridget. So can you tell us first about the two candidates who are running in this election?
Okay, so what we have in Kimanis is two candidates. One from UMNO, who has been the previous state assemblyman from the area. There's two state seats there, Bongkawan, and he was the immediate state assemblyman before 2018. And then the other candidate is from Warisan. His name is Karim Bujang. The first guy is from UMNO is Mohamad Alamin. And Karim Bujang is the state assemblyman for four terms before Alamin came into that seat. So you have a situation where both of them have the same type of experience. They both come from UMNO. They both are local, from the local community. In the case of Karim Bujang, he is a Brunei Malay, which is the dominant group in the seat. And in the case of Alamin, he is a mix of he's Brunei Malay as well as being Dusun.
Can you give us a gauge on the popularity of the candidates?
Well, I think at this point, not really a test about the candidates, although Karim Bujang has a longer tenure, so he is seen as very popular among his own community. But there is a sense that he was pushed aside in 2018 and 2013. He doesn't have the same kind of connection to the machinery that Alamin does in terms of this being an old traditional UMNO seat. We also see a situation where the candidates are not as important as the parties they're representing. So the parties are really being tested. And we've already seen in the campaign that this is about what reputation the parties have. And so we have actually three parties that are actually being tested. The obvious one, of course, the most important one from the perspective of a kind of this test for the seat, is whether or not UMNO can continue to win given what's happened to the party in Sabah. And I think Alamin is seen to be close traditionally to the Aman family. He stayed in the party when most people in the party left. So he's seen as a loyalist. This is a test for whether or not UMNO can continue to actually hold on to that seat. And of course, Karim was one of the key members who joined Warisan in 2018. and he contested there and lost by a very small vote of 156 in the final tally, although there was lots of controversy about the voting counting process. In this case, the test really is about whether or not Warasan and particularly Shafi Abdel's leadership is very strong. And then, of course, there's also the issue of Bursatu. And the other seat, state seat, Mbakot, we see a situation where that is being held by a Bursatu person. Interestingly enough, it's also being held by a man who is seen as the former Chief Minister Musa Aman's son-in-law. So this seat has a little bit to do with the traditional rivalries within Sabah politics. So there is this Bursatu party that's coming in. There's this, the UMNO that's being tested of whether or not it can still hold on to power, and Warasan whether or not it's supreme in representing the state. And so the candidates get caught up into these party labels.
So, Bridget, what would you say are the issues surrounding this by-election?
I think essentially in this seat there are five things to point. First of which is the kind of the Shafi Aman rivalry. This was a seat that was held by Anita Aman since 2004. And this is really about whether or not Shafi can continue to offset some of their political and economic power. I think that's going to be an undercurrent in this election. We also see the issue of state nationalism. You know, Warasan is saying, we're a Sabah-based party. These other parties are Simanundrum-based. And I think this is going to be playing out, and we've already seen that in the campaign. We also see the issue of Shafi Abdel's leadership. And this has a lot to do with, he's got 20 months in power. The Sabahanzer survey shows Sabahanzer are divided over his leadership. And I think that this seat is very interesting because it's very multi-ethnic, represents different groups within the state. It's very, very diverse. I think it's testing Shafi Abdel's ability to represent Sabah as a whole and to reach out to different groups besides his own communities that are very strong for him, which are the Bajau and the Suluk, based on the east coast of South Sabah. This is a west coast seat. And there's also the issue of local ties. Here, again, these very small groups and local ethnic loyalties play in. You know, one of the strategies of UMNO is to have a mixed candidate so he can reach out particularly to the KDM or the Kerazan Dusun community in Murut as well, in order for them to have kind of more outreach, because there's a lot of kind of local ethnic ties in the kind of the different social milieu of Sabah politics. And I think finally, a lot of it's going to come down to resources and money. I think this is the allegations of vote buying. Sabah in this seat were made in the election petition. They were ultimately dismissed because there were challenges of evidence. But there's a perception that resources play a large role.
But would you say that this by-election would be an accurate gauge to Shafi Abdel's leadership of Sabah so far?
I think it's an important gauge. I mean, I think the word accurate we have to be a bit careful about. But I think it's important because this seat is multi-ethnic and because it's testing a couple issues that are really, really important for certain communities. One has been the introduction of the Sabah temporary pass, which involves the rights of some people who don't have documentation and perceived to be illegal to have a pass to stay within the state. This is something that is deeply resented by the Kerazan Dusun community. They think this is basically a perception that this is legalizing illegal migrants to have the rights to stay within the state. And there's resentment of this because this has been a very long-standing, very emotive issue within the context of Sabah. And keep in mind that the KDM community are 30% of this seat, and they're going to be very important in terms of being a kingmaker. I think there's also the issue of how Shafi is managing the local economy. That is pretty important for especially for young voters. 40% of the electorate in Kamanis are under the age of 40. And I think they swung very heavily in Warasan's favor in GE14, especially against UMNO. I think they're going to be a group to watch as it moves in particular direction. And Sabah is one of the youngest states in Malaysia, so the young voters are particularly important for this seat like Kamanis. And I think it does give you somewhat of an indicator of how he's doing in groups that are important for kind of a more inclusive Warasan and a more inclusive Sabah leadership.
We are trying to assess who is likely to win. Would dissatisfaction with the federal government play into this by-election?
I think there's going to be a lot of media attention to the issue of UMNO, PAS Alliance, Mafakat Nasional, and the consensus. I think it's interesting. You know, surveys show that the study of the local data in Sabah shows that actually the PAS has gained quite a lot of ground there. They haven't won any seats, but they have supporters. But at the same juncture, this is an extraordinarily multi-ethnic seat, and there's a lot of resentment of some of the agendas that are being pushed, particularly in terms of race and religion. So it's going to be, I think, test the viability of this PAS UMNO alliance across the South China Sea, a.k.a., you know, are they a viable opposition that can come into government? And if they can't win a Sabah seat, then I think that that actually really sort of shows the limits of what UMNO and the alliance will have in terms of being able to potentially be a challenge to E15.
Thank you very much, Bridget. And that was Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute, talking to us about the Kimanis by-elections and what we can expect perhaps as we head into the election period, because the polls are due on the 18th of January. So we're slightly less than 2 weeks into it. But that's going to be something that we're going to be watching very closely. In the meantime, right now, we're heading into the 8 o'clock news. And then after that, we have the Breakfast Grill, where Shaoning speaks with Alok Ghosh, CEO of Signify ASEAN. Be sure to stay tuned for that after the news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.